Yeah, I got to meet her and speak to her and talk to her there, but I was sort of just being a fan and unprepared. Like, I wasn't prepared. And also, you know what? Now I'm sort of thinking something about Zoom being so futuristic and so recent, but also the low quality of it being aired on radio. Just is so, it's vintage. And I think maybe Crowdflip and Zoom are soulmates and they just go together too well. And so I just had to do it on Zoom rather than in person. That's gonna be, actually, that's what I'm going with. It's not because I was just being a fangirl and unprepared. So yeah, I'm gonna start by playing a song of hers called Daydreams by Vida. And then let's start the interview, shall we? Yeah. Okay, enjoy.
Tomorrow can't foresee.
everyone. Today I'm here with
Vita.
Woo! Yeah, today I'm here with Vita. I got to experience one of her shows in June that was with at the Brick and Mortar, and is with the Carrigo band, Lance Redeker, and a lot of other really cool people.
Yes.
And it was really good. I was listening to her music before, but I got to meet her, and she was very kind. And I said, hey.
We met in the bathroom.
Yeah, I thought she'd be hiding, but yeah. And the show was so good. And did you know your music is moshable?
Yeah. That was really, did you mosh?
Yeah. Okay, in the eye.
You got it.
It was great.
Fun. I know, and some people jumped on stage with me. Yeah,
your friends were there. Your friends were very kind as well. They were supporting you, and the crowd was going wild.
It was really fun.
Yeah. Was that? I don't know how many shows you've done, but. Was that one of your more memorable shows? It was from, so I don't know about you, but.
Honestly, it definitely was. That was the last show I've done recently. I've just been kind of like more quiet lately, but it really was. That was probably one of my most top three shows.
What were the other two?
One of my favorite shows, I would say, was when I opened up for Michael Sayer.
Ooh, that's exciting. Whoa, was that in San Francisco?
That was one of my favorites. And then another favorite was in LA, and it was like for this, they were playing a preview of The Craft, the movie about witches.
Okay.
And it was just like this giant screen, and like there was like a bunch of people and like trying to watch the movie, and then I performed before, and I had like, it was like Halloween themed, so I had like these giant wings on, like these ginormous wings, and I was on the full big screen, and it's just like this girl with giant wings just singing.
Is that so angelic of you? When did you start making music like officially? I guess not officially, because I know you do most of it by yourself, so maybe it doesn't feel like official. Mm-hmm. But when did you decide like you're going to release things and show people?
To release things and show people when I was like 18. I wasn't going to. I was always really shy, but my ex at the time, my ex now, but they were like, oh, like you should like put this out, like it's really good. And so I put out my first song, which was The World Is Yours, that I like made on GarageBand, and I just put it on SoundCloud and like just put it on Twitter and like tweeted it, and like people liked, like some people liked it.
Yeah, that was one that I feel like on like the algorithms, whether it was TikTok or Spotify or SoundCloud, the like people who listen to like Lana Del Rey and like, that sort of like soft airy tone, and like it attracted like those types of fan groups, and I feel like that was a very well done song.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's crazy you made it on GarageBand. Because do you still use GarageBand?
I use Logic now, like GarageBand on like steroids.
Yeah. GarageBand in like a business suit.
Yeah, exactly. A professional GarageBand.
How long did it take you to make your album, The Little Mermaid album?
I like really worked on it during when I was going to college and during quarantine, I think it took me like, ooh, I don't know. I think it took me like 6 months to really like figure out what songs I want and like mixing it all and like making sure it's like perfect for me enough to like put out. But yeah, it didn't take, I think it probably took half a year.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I didn't know if it was like a type of like you, because there's like quite a few songs on there.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
definitely, those songs I've written throughout the year of like 2019, or like most of them were actually fairly new. Most of them, I like, there was maybe three that I wrote like before quarantine, and then like the rest, like I was just like locked in my room and I just like went crazy.
Yeah. I feel like quarantine brought a lot of nice music out from
Yeah,
what we're with.
definitely. Because it's like there was nothing else really to do, and I really wanted to put out like a piece, like a like an album.
Yeah, and it's very like diverse. Like you're trying like a lot of different sounds and styles on it. Which I love.
Thank you.
And your production style is very unique, and like matches your voice very well. I guess, yeah, you just made music to like make music. I sometimes ask like, how did you start producing? Which I guess that is, yeah, if you want to talk about how you started or like did something like push you to actually like start making a song on GarageBand.
Yeah, definitely. I've always been very, I would write a lot. I would like play the keyboard when I was 12, and that continued, and then until I was 18, and I like really wanted, I wanted a MacBook because I wanted to use GarageBand. So when I was 18, I finally got a MacBook, and then that's when I was like, okay, I'm gonna start like doing things more on the computer instead of just like playing on a keyboard, because you can do way more on a computer. And yeah, I just like really started producing when I was like 18.
Your song East Saudi Girls is really good. I was like obsessed. Like
Thank you.
the way, because that's like a different sort of sound. The production is really cool. I don't know what like really hit. Yeah, it was just like really satisfying to hear and listen to. And yeah, I guess did your sound from like realizing like producing and then writing things just come about like pretty naturally, I guess.
I would say so, yeah. I feel like, I don't know how to explain it. I just feel like it's just like my brain, like put on display. But I don't know, I really like no like noises, and like I really like hearing a noise and like, oh, this sounds cool, and like adding like another noise to like kind of like harmonize with it. Like I don't know, yeah, it's like fun for me.
Was there someone who like sparked you to start making music that you listened to in the past and you're like, oh yes? Or do you have any past influences that you like remember inspiring you to
I think you might already know this answer.
yeah. Maybe like one, but I don't know if there's any more.
Yeah, definitely Lana Del Rey, my biggest influence. Just like I really like her lyrics, and I like how like dark and like honest they are. And her voice, of course, and I don't know, I really like I also really like Kanye West, 'cause his lyrics are very honest and his production is incredible. And I really like Kurt Cobain, like that whole like dark vibe, grungy. I don't know. I like to keep my influences open. I like to be influenced by a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to ask about your like current influences, but I guess that also sort of answers it.
Yeah.
I definitely feel, yeah, the Lana Del Rey is very clear. We needed though, like, a Gen Z Lana Del Rey. Because the lyrics,
I could never.
Yeah, and let me not compare. That's, like, not good. Because you're even making, like, sort of, like I was saying, you, like, make new sounds and you experiment with your sounds because you're open to the same with, like, influences. I'm sure you're, like, sound like your new song that just came out recently is kind of sounds different. But I know you also made that with someone else.
Yeah.
Versus just like you in your room. I assume that's like how your music maybe usually goes. So how was the process of like working with someone else on something different?
It was cool. Yeah, that was definitely me trying something new. I actually found that beat off of YouTube.
Okay.
Bought it off of the producer, and then there was this other producer that I've been in contact with through Instagram, and he was like, hey, like, I can, like, mix and master one of your songs, and so I sent it to him, and he, like, just, like, made it sound perfect and, like, added more elements to it, and basically, when I work with other people, mostly, it's, like, a bunch of, like, sending back and forth if it's not, like, in person, but I mean, I enjoy that, the back and forth, but yeah, I mostly do everything alone.
Yeah.
It's annoying sometimes.
Yeah, time consuming.
Yeah.
But I was gonna ask about the mixing and mastering parts as well, but I guess you usually do that, unless obviously you don't then.
Yeah. I usually, every song I have out, I've mixed and mastered myself, except for that new one that just dropped.
Okay, nice. Exciting. Branching out, though. Trying new creative processes is good and healthy.
Yeah.
So your creative process, yeah, I guess you're saying sending back and forth, and then just, I'm sure, lots of different experimenting of sounds and seeing if what works and not. But
most of the case, it's literally like me sitting on my bed or on my desk and just like pressing things.
Yeah, until listening to all the sounds.
Ta ta. Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey. Hi. Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
Hello, everybody. Again, you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. So we referenced the song East Saudi Girls, which is one of Vida's songs who I am interviewing this episode of Crowdflip. And that's what I just played because she referred to one of the lyrics as one of her favorite lyrics, and I also referred to it. So just some context. And let's get back to the interview.
Do you have a favorite song or lyric that you can think of? I know lyric is maybe pushing it, but maybe song.
There's like a Pink Floyd lyric that I really like.
Wait, I meant of your own, but also, but also I want to hear this. I want to hear it.
The Pink Floyd one, though, it's like, we're just two lost souls swimming in a fishbowl.
Whoa, the way you had that so prepared was, like,
really like the first thought. Yeah.
That's good.
My lyric?
I know, that's, like, maybe a little harder, because people, like, forget what they, but it doesn't need to be a lyric, it could be anything, song, or
There's a lyric that it's an East Saudi Girls, actually. It's like always stuck in my head, like I always think about it, and it's when I say, "Everything on earth is but a dream."
So true. I'm gonna like listen to it after. And nice. Would you say that's one of your favorite songs?
Maybe. Before I put out that album, East Saudi Girls, I was like, this is my favorite. It was East Saudi Girls was my favorite, and I think Airplanes, or Heaven to Earth was one of my favorites, but East Saudi Girls was like one of my favorites.
Yeah, you were talking about the dark and true and like grunge aesthetic. Mm-hmm. And you edit, like you make little video edits to mm-hmm. your songs, like to promote them, but I'm sure maybe you just do it because like it's fun. Mm-hmm. And they're really good and they're so nice, and they like give like a really nice visual aesthetic that people may have not like pictured while listening to your song. Mm-hmm. For example, how did it feel, Euphoria, noticing you?
That was like the best day of my life, but you know, I haven't gone into contact with them ever since that year, but it was still really cool to like have that like recognition and like not even just from the show, but I also like made like a video about it and like posted it on TikTok, and then that really blew up, and I feel like that's what really that's how people really started noticing that song.
Yeah, TikTok is a scary but great place.
A magical world.
Yeah, so many different adjectives to describe TikTok. I think I found the like you saying like I tried to be Lana Del Rey, I tried to like recreate. Yeah. That's
the guy I found. I'm in the cemetery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how was that? That you are so real for that. Making a music video. Everyone, I feel like everyone's made music videos trying to recreate like their favorite music video.
Yeah.
And wait, you said, was that when you were 18 or no?
Yeah. So okay. The World Is Yours. Yeah. It actually got attraction like 3 years later. That's when I posted video, because it was when Lana was trending and she was, it was like I don't want to live thing, and I was like, okay, let me just post this video, and I did.
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, that's so good. Yeah, you had to do it.
I had to.
I was gonna ask if, yeah, so you're the video editing, I guess, just do them for fun. Yeah. Like, yeah. But I feel like that is really good, because also I don't know if you can think of like a little imaginative, like one sentence thing on the spot of how to describe your music, not like in a genre, but like it could be like maybe the people that like attract your, the people your music attracts, or like how you describe it, but like not in the typical like one word genres. If you need some time to think, or if you like don't want to answer, that's fine.
I would describe, personally, I would describe my music as like, I would say it's pretty experimental, but like experimental, whimsical, a rainy day, but so hard. Experimental, an experimental, whimsical fairy going to the grocery store while there's a thunderstorm.
Yes!
I tried to make it as extra as I could.
That was amazing. I agree. I think that's true. That's very true. I'm Middle Eastern as well, and I talk a lot about like how I actually, okay, this is gonna be sort of off topic, I'll probably cut this out, but I talk about how like Middle Eastern sounds have like a very specific sad sound to them, even if they're not meant to be sad sounding, but it's just because they use like microtones and like their minor keys for us sound like bad, but that's like their scale, the scales that are used, and a lot of artists like that do take the like sad dark sound, sort of take from those from like that scale kind of, and I feel like your like that first song that you put on when you were 18, that was like it was pretty like sad.
Right.
But like, yeah, it sort of, yeah, it sounded like that. So I was wondering if maybe like, I don't know if like your parents or like people around you listen to Middle Eastern music, like, and cause sometimes I'm like, I feel like a lot of past music that like we forget about or like have heard sometimes like influences what we listen to now, or like observations we make about music and stuff. So I don't know. I wanted to ask.
I love that question. Because you're so right. I think one of my like first influences ever in my life was like, because I am Middle Eastern, I'm Afghani, and growing up, like when I was like 4 or 5 or 3 or 2, even younger, like I had aunts and uncles who, like at family gatherings, we would like get in a crowd and like they would perform and like for us and like play the I think it's called a harmonium or something. And it's like this thing and it's like a keyboard, but you have to like pump it. And I feel like I like picked up like the like stylings, like the movements of like playing it like in that traditional like music. And like, I even notice it now, like when I'm playing my keyboard, like I use those similar sounds or like techniques.
Yeah, like the arpeggio type, like
yeah.
Well, in like oh my god, I'm blood in Daydreams. That's like the first thing you hear that like stays throughout. It's like the, and then you start layering other things, but it's like the yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. That's very cool. The performance, the sitting around and people performing is so real.
Can we do that too?
Yeah. Literally in San Francisco, like the set, like
they have like the tablas.
Yeah. Or like literally just singing, and I'm like, this is so cute. Like, if only it was just normal for everyone to just create art and like, cause it's so fun and wholesome, and like everyone's so happy, and I'm like,
it's beautiful. It's
more, but then, yeah, different conventional mindsets about like,
yeah, it's been rough for me, but at the end of the day, I feel like, you know, this is my life, and I have one life, and this is what I love to do, and you know, I'm not gonna let anything stop me.
Yeah, amazing. And as you should, because also you're doing very well. That's another thing that's like it, not to like look at numbers or anything, but sometimes I feel like that's a stressful factor.
There's been times where I've been super just not okay, and like nothing was going anywhere, and it was just really like hard for me, but you know, you just have to believe in yourself, and if you really love something, and you kind of like for me, I feel like I've like been obsessed with it for a while, and it's like I felt like I had to keep going, like there's nothing else that I'd want to do.
Yeah, and then also once it's like stuck in your mind, you like don't feel like you can like stop until it goes somewhere, which is like a very stressful sort of thing on your shoulders, but you're doing so well. Don't get stressed right now, you're doing well, things are like, I'm not gonna like read out your monthly listeners number on Spotify or whatever, but like you're doing well, people enjoy your music, you've created sort of like Lana that's like, I only compare because like the niche fan base, you like fans that count on your music and count on you like posting and stuff and get excited when you post things and songs and stuff. So yeah, it's true. I was one of them, so meeting you was exciting.
Like hearing that feels crazy to me, because I just like, I don't know, I just wake up and like do live my little life. So that means a lot to me, and you know, like it helps me a lot just knowing that I have, you know, that support out there.
Yeah, I feel like it's also easy to forget when people like really started releasing music during the pandemic, when no one was really real and you couldn't see people and like do shows. And I feel like sometimes people equate like doing shows to like success, because it's like whatever, but there's like quite a few milestones that you've hit. I was gonna ask you about like any exciting milestones that you want to brag about, because I think femmes in music deserve to brag more. Because
no, it's like, yeah, I think definitely one of my biggest milestones was getting getting a million streams. I just think that's a lot. Like, I don't even have that much money. Like, and definitely like reaching like 100,000 monthly listeners, I thought was just made me want to jump up and down and like do a happy dance.
You should. Let's see. I'll do it with you.
Hey. Yeah, that like just like brought my soul, like lifted my soul, I feel like.
Yeah, I definitely feel like you were saying, like working so hard and not seeing, I don't want to say results, because even still, you can be doing well and also be stressed and feel like things aren't going anywhere. But yeah, I think when like milestones of like little successes are on a screen, it's like, doesn't feel as real, and it feels maybe weird. So yeah, like with the pandemic and everything. So
I'm really hard on myself, and I don't know, like, it's different to hear, you know, like your perspective of me and like how you see me. And I don't know, it's,
yeah, just, of course, it's like imposter syndrome is
that what it's called?
Oh, with like not believing. I don't know what the exact definition of imposter syndrome is, so I'm not gonna,
yeah, that could be it. I think,
yeah,
you're onto something.
Yeah, me spreading misinformation, that's what it's called. I don't know. And no there, it, that's a thing, but I don't know the exact definition. But yeah, and now you're experimenting with new sounds. Do you have any upcoming music that's coming out, or shows you're doing, or things you're excited for, or different sounds you're experimenting with and you're excited about, everything?
As of right now, I'm in my, like, you know how witches, when they have like that like giant pot and they're like mixing it?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like there right now. I'm like trying to mix something up.
You're in your mixing pot witch era.
Yeah.
Okay, that's things are brewing. The pot is bubbling. Things are brewing. Things will be happening. Stay tuned. Stream.
Yes. I mean, I just dropped that new little dancey single about, I think, a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah, because, well, your music that is slow is danceable / moshable.
Now, yeah.
It's been tested. It's a foolproof plan.
Scientifically proven.
Scientifically proven at the Brick and Mortar Theater. But also now you're releasing, like, I don't know. Well, your last song was, like, sort of what... That's like a dancey song,
yeah,
which is exciting, and I hope to hear more different sounds from you, because you're good at trying new things, and you never know what might work.
Yeah. I wasn't originally gonna put that one out, but you know, like, a couple people were commenting, like, "Oh, I like release this song," and so I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, good. You have to give the people what they want.
Yeah, and I really do enjoy the song too. I like before I put it out, I would like just dance to it in my room.
Yeah, it's definitely a danceable song. Thanks. I was gonna ask, wait, one more thing. Is your name Vida like an artist name or your name?
I don't know. I like that people don't know. Like, I like that, you know.
The mystery.
A mystery. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, then no further comments. No. That's, she said what she said. Okay, Miss, what's Long Delvey's real name? I forget what her real name is, but like, I was so shocked. I just thought Lana Del Rey was her actual name. So now, guess we'll never know.
We'll never know. Stay tuned.
One day we'll find out. Yeah. maybe. But keep the mystique. You're very mysterious. I feel like that's also a good quality of, yeah, your music brings mystery, mystique.
I like that.
Yeah. Thank you for speaking to me today.
Thanks for wanting to speak to me.
Of course. I know, after your show, I was like, should I just interview you right now? And you were like, that would be fun. And I was like, oh, I didn't expect you to say that. So, and I was like, wait, actually, no, when I'm back in Canada, okay. It's a great thing for times like this. Yeah. I was going to ask if you have any final words or things you want to say to the people?
Final words I'm going to say is pizza bagels.
So true. And with that, pizza bagels. Vida announces Pizza Bagels as her newest, her next newest single coming out August 25th. States
the way. I don't think people understand. Like, it's literally a pizza bagel.
I don't think they do. And you're going to tell them with mystery and dark truth.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for speaking to me today. That was Vida, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Vida.
Thank you.
Let's see here.
Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody.
God, this is awful.
Isn't there anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
I pray to God. You don't tell no one, you can tell me. Little ghost, tall, tan, like milk and honey. You're very brave and very free. I push you high, cherry. Thank you. dropped my sanity, then found it.
Once again, you're listening to Crowdflip on CITR 101.9 FM. So the first song I played was The World Is Yours by Vida. The demo version, that was the first song she released when she was 18 on streaming platforms. And then I played Cherry Blossom by Lana Del Rey. She released a like music video to The World Is Yours, her song, and kind of jokingly saying that she would like try to make a Lana Del Rey-esque type music video. Jokingly slash seriously, because she did it, it worked. And then I played Back on Main by Arush Aftab, and the last song was Heavy Handed by Kaylee Lee. And yeah, so that concludes this episode, this interview. I hope you got to learn a little bit more about Vida. Thank you again to her, it was so fun. Yeah. That's the end. You're listening to Crowdflip on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Kiana, and have a great day, night, or day. Goodbye.
Hey everyone, and welcome all to the seventh hour of this afternoon. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, including the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations at the University of British Columbia. My name is Olivia, and I'm happy to be here this evening. I'm actually a newcomer to Vancouver and British Columbia, and yesterday, I don't want to sound too overwhelmingly impressive here, traveled all the way from Southeast Marine Drive Station, where all the industrial buildings and mulch factories are, which is actually where I work, to the top of Grouse Mountain in under 52 minutes, might I add, and then all the way up to Deer Lake Park in Burnaby, which was really fun. So Apparently in Vancouver, when the director of research and development at your work suggests that a fun social outing for the team will be to climb 2,830 steps up a mountain, you have to say yes. And anyway, so I had the Mitski concert to get to last night at 7 p.m., so I raced my